Amen. And we do want some of that. I want to thank my crew, my son, my granddaughter, my daughter, and of course, Glow. I just thank God for them. They continue to use their voices to uplift the name of Jesus. And how many of you want to be drenched with that Holy Ghost? Amen. I know I do. Yes, indeed. Just let it rain on me, all over me. Soak me down. Amen, amen. Holy Father, I thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to be able to stand here, Lord. Not that I'm so worthy, but that you allowed it, Lord, to stand before your people. I pray, Father, that they would, as they look at me, that they would see Jesus. And Father, as they hear the words that I speak, that they would hear the Holy Spirit, Lord. That it would draw them closer to Jesus and woo them, Lord, to receive and to want to be one with you. I thank you, Lord, for everything that's happened here this day thus far. I pray that it would not be for naught, Lord, that it would be to usher in your soon coming and to draw someone closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Once again, I didn't do anything to earn this, but the Lord allowed it for me to be able to stand here. Amen. If you would, take your Bibles and go to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Very familiar text to everybody. Matthew 7, 13 through 14. My reading, you're hearing, and I'll be reading from the NIV. Matthew 7, 13 through 14. Elder Pondexter, you're really going to miss you, man. You know, and I know that the Lord's going to bless you wherever venue you find yourself in. Are you there? Okay, this is my reading and your hearing. But verse 13 says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to what? Destruction. And many enter through it. That's pause for questions. There's going to be a lot of people going through that gate that leads to destruction. And then verse 14 says, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. How many of you know it's not about the crowd? It's not about the quantity, it's about the quality. So if I can attach a title to this today, it would be Make the Right Choice. Make the Right Choice. We already know that life is full of choices. We make choices every day. Realize how many choices you made to be here today? Let me give you a few. Well, you chose what to wear. Went through their closet and now, yeah, no. Oh, what time should I get there? Some people came to early morning prayer. Some people came to Sabbath school. And some people came to divine hour. Should I take a shower or should I take a bath? But I know you took one. what road should I go? What route should I go? Ladies, don't hate me, but wig, weave, or natural. each day we're confronted with choices. Some choices have very little impact on our lives, while others significantly change our lives. Some choices have very little impact on our lives, while others have significantly changed our lives. Here's some facts about some choices. Some choices are easy to make. Especially when they don't affect your comfort zone. And then some choices are hard to make, especially when they benefit others more than you. And then some choices are necessary for a particular purpose. Some choices pay off for the moment, but cause destruction in the end. And then some choices are made without immediate payoff, but benefits or profits are realized in the end or in the future. As Jesus taught about the two gates, he knew that most people, including Christians of today, they don't really understand the true meaning of those two gates. You see, some Christians believe that the wide gate is reserved for just the godless and those not interested in serving God. You know, they figure, well, you know, Christians not gonna follow that path. Not that wide gate. You know, I'm in church. I'm not headed through that gate. I'm trying to get to the narrow gate. And we think that that gate is just reserved for those who maybe not where you are, or for those who don't really are not interested in God. So they're going to take that wide gate. But I got news for you before the sermon is over. Of all the choices we will ever make, the most critical of all is our decision to give our life to Jesus so that we can live eternally with him. That's the best choice that you can make. I thought that, you know, because God is first in my life, but I knew I made a good choice, and y'all heard my little story. Before I leave here and move back home, y'all going to know it, because at my other church, they already know it. There it goes again. But in 1966, at the flagpole in junior high school, I was in the ninth grade. My wife, Gloria, was in the eighth. And would you believe, on that day at lunch hour, I told her, I was prophesying, we're going to get married one day, and we're going to have some beautiful kids. Prophet or what? I'm just saying. 1966 at the flagpole. But I made a good choice. On a serious note, in Matthew 7, Jesus is preaching at the Sermon on the Mount. He tells the people, and this is leading up to verse 13. He tells the people, he says, judge not so that you be not judged. If you don't want it done to you, don't do it to anybody else. And then he says, don't worry about the speck in your brother's eye when you don't consider the plank in your own eye. You know somebody like that, one or two people? They look all around the plank in their own eye to look at the speck in yours. Hypocrites. No, he says, get the plank out of your eye and before you try to get the speck out of my eye. This is just good counsel he's giving to people. He says, if you ask, seek, and knock, and it will be given to you. He also tells the people, he says, look, whatever you want men to do to you, do unto them. Yeah, if you don't want to do it to you, don't do it to them. Simple. But then Jesus charges the people with the most important decision they'll ever make. A life or death decision. Anybody ever made a life or death decision? Haven't you heard stories of deathbed confessions where people have found themselves in a life or death situation? There was a life or death situation when my son, who sang, and as Glo was pregnant with him, and she had uterine cancer, and the doctor had to tell us, he said, which one do you want to see live, your wife or your son? Your wife or your son? He was a preemie, 3 pounds, and look at him today. God is so good. I didn't have to make a decision. So Jesus says, a wide gate or a narrow gate, this is what he offers to the people. You will go through one. But it's a matter of choice. Which one will you choose? So we want to look at three components regarding choosing the wide gate or the narrow gate. Or in some of your versions, you saw straight. Okay? There are three components that we kind of want to look at regarding this. At either gate, first component is first you have to enter. So we're talking about the entrance through the gate. Second, after you get through the gate, there's a path that has to be followed. Third component, where will that path end, or what will the destination be? The entrance, the path, the destination. The entrance, let's look at that. The entrance to the wide gate is easy to enter. Did you know that? There's something about that wide gate. It draws people. It's attractive. It's alluring. It's easy to make a decision to go through the wide gate. And then the path is wide and broad. But the end thereof is destruction. Many people choose and have chosen to enter the wide gate. The thing about the wide gate for many people is the fact that because the gate is wide, they're able to take any kind of baggage they want with them. A lot of us are walking around now with excess baggage that you don't need. You know, well, you can get through the wide gate with your baggage. Nothing said about it. Ain't anybody gonna put you out. The gate is wide. I guarantee you won't be in there by yourself. There's gonna be a lot of people traveling along with you. There's gonna be a lot of traffic passing through the wide gate. But I'm here to serve notice that according to Matthew 7:13, it tells us that that entrance or gate leads to destruction from Jump Street. You don't want to go through that gate. And now before you start thinking about, well, I'm a Christian, I'm definitely not going to be going through that gate. The Bible says there's going to be a lot of people in that gate. The Bible did not say there would not be Christians that pass through that gate. Here's another point. Many sincere Christians will find themselves entering the wide gate. Why? Because they have been led by false prophets. You see, the false prophets may even be sincere. Matthew 7:15 says, "Beware of false prophets, which come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves." They sound right. They make you feel comfortable, and almost anything goes. You see how alluring that can be? You see how easy it is for a Christian to find themselves going through the wide gate from listening to false prophets? They're on the wide path to destruction. Matthew 7:22 says, now this is kind of after our scripture, and Jesus has told them about these two gates. In Matthew 7:22, Jesus says, "Many will say in that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name, drive out demons? In your name, perform miracles?'" But look at verse 23. This is Jesus now. You told him that you've done all these good things, all these Christian things, things that you were taught. But look what he says. Jesus says, "Then I will tell them plainly." He's going to make it clear, is clear as mud, some people say. He's going to make it clear. He's going to say it plainly. "I never knew you." Woo, what a sad scenario to be in. You entered the wide gate. You've done all the Christian things. You're doing the Christian things. And in that day, you know, "Lord, I did all these good things for you. I did some good things. I casted out devils. I healed the sick." But he says, "I never knew you." That's going to be a sad day for that person. "I never knew you." And then he says what? "Away from me, you evildoers." He's like, "Get out of my face. Don't want to have nothing to do with it." It sounds pretty cold. But he's already warned you. That's what happens in this wide gate. That's the end of the road, is destruction. But then there's a straight or a narrow gate. There's a straight or a narrow entrance that one could choose. Jesus says, this gate, the small, narrow gate, this gate leads to heaven. Well, what's the difference? He says, in this gate, there's no room to enter this gate with all of your excess baggage. You got to put off some stuff. Now, that stuff that you thought meant something to you, now you can't get there through this gate. You're not going to be able to carry all this stuff with you. And we're going to find about what some of that stuff is. You see, there's no room for chasing after the world and its pleasures. Yeah. It's some pleasurable stuff out there, but it ain't all for you. You can't get through the narrow gate But it's, I mean, the gate is not, it can't handle, there's no room for you to pass with all of this stuff. All these worldly pleasures, feel good, taste good, sound good, but it ain't good for you. There's no room for unforgiving spirits. Uh-oh. Unforgiving spirits. Anybody know any Christians with unforgiving spirits? They ain't gonna get in the narrow gate with it. You might as well dump it off now. You get to the gate, you're just gonna be out there. You ain't gonna be able to get in. Unforgiving spirits. You might be thinking right now, there's somebody you know that you need to forgive. I don't know what the hurt was. I don't know even if it was done wrong. You probably didn't even deserve it. Never should have happened to you. A lot of stuff shouldn't have happened to Jesus, but it did. Unforgiving spirits. Throw it off if you want to go through the narrow gate. And he says, and there's no room for self-righteousness in this gate. You can keep it if you want. There's a lot of room in the wide gate for that stuff, but there's no room in the narrow gate or the straight gate. Self-righteousness. I'm all about me, myself, and nobody else. I got it all together. It's me. See? Me. Yeah, I got it all together. I'm the one. I'm the man. I'm the woman. I'm the girl. I'm the boy. It's all about me. Self-righteousness. Remember, you can keep it and get in the wide gate, or you can throw it off and you can get in the narrow or the straight gate. This entrance or gate is not easy to pass through, and you can't do it except for the power of Jesus. Luke 13, 24, English Standard Version reads, it says, strive. You know, when you strive to do something, you're trying to do it. You're making an effort. You're going forward. It says, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Remember, it's not about the quantity, it's about the quality. Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will want to enter, but they can't enter. Matthew 7:13. So Jesus tells us, he says, he invites us himself to enter in the straight, straight, and not straight, gate. Enter in the straight gate. That word straight means difficult. Enter into the narrow or the difficult gate. If something is difficult, there's something that you have to tweak. There's something that you have to change to get through this gate. If it's difficult, there's some obstacles. There's something that has to change to get through, or have to change about you, or some stuff that you have to change in order to get through this narrow gate. In ancient times, there were gates to cities, and the gates were closed around sunset. And since the cities, most of the cities were set like atop hills, or precipitous rocks, the path that led upward to the gate was often narrow. He who would enter before the closing of the gate must strive by persevering effort up the pathway that leads home to be in time to enter in the gate. The narrowness of the gate calls for self-denial. Once again, you got to put off some stuff. Self-denial on the part of one trying to enter the gate. Second component to enter in these gates. After you get in the gate, then you have to follow a path. After you get in the narrow gate, there's a path you have to follow because you're headed to life. At the end is life. In the wide gate, there's a path you follow that leads to destruction. This stuff is not complicated. It's not rocket science. You see, the wide path, the wide path is the one that's most traveled. It's the easy path. There's not really much pain on the wide gate. There's going to be a lot of people there. I guarantee you're going to have some company. Something else about this wide path. The path is wide because there are many ways that lead to destruction. I mean, that's a lot of ways you can lead to your own destruction. You see, some people are going to travel down Pride Avenue. They're going to run down Crack Alley. Some will ride up Gossip Street. Some will travel down Materialism Way. Some will take Hate Street, or they will walk down Murder Boulevard. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way to death. You mean I could be convinced that I'm doing the right thing and there's destruction waiting on me based on my choice or my decision? Proverbs said it is. It could seem right to you, man meaning man and woman, but the end thereof is the way to death. You could think you're headed the right way based on your reasoning because you're all intelligent like that. And it could be leading right to your death. The well-traveled path has no rules, no restrictions. It is a path that has everyone doing the right thing in their own eyes. I got this. Don't need no instruction from nobody. No restrictions. There's no friction. There's nothing rubbing you the wrong way. There's no rules, no restraints, no rules. If anything is structured, you have to have rules. You have to have some type of order. Can you imagine a world without any order or rules? It would be crazy. But then there's the narrow path. See, I have to show you the contrast on these paths. You see, the way is narrow or it's restricted on this path. It's not quite as wide. It's not as many people there. You see, it's restricted. There are some things that's going to rub you the wrong way, but it's going to be right for you. There are some restraints. You just can't do any and everything down this path. It's a narrow path. Remember that in Luke 13:24, it tells us, it says, strive through the narrow gate for many. I say to you, we'll seek to enter and will not be able. It requires us to allow Jesus to change our life, which in turn will cause us to change our behavior. But if you won't allow Jesus to change your life, if you just want to do your own thing, you know, Jesus, I got this, you won't get through the narrow gate in order to travel down the narrow path because there's restrictions. There's some things that God said we should not do. There's structure on the narrow gate. But if you enter yourself, and that's what I like about this, Jesus gives you the freedom of choice. Choose or make the right choice. It's difficult to walk this path because it takes discipline and desire. Now, some people don't like to be disciplined. They know it all. I got this. Can't nobody tell me nothing. I don't need to know anything else. I'm in total control. No, it takes discipline. What if you never discipline your children? Boy, you'd have a crazy household. Your kids would be telling you what time to go to bed. Your kids would be telling you, eat that food. If there was no discipline. Yeah, kids would be telling you, go to work. You'd be crazy up in your household. But then something else about this narrow path. It requires us to allow Jesus to change our life, which in turn will change our behavior. Many people would not choose this path because it's not easy. Everybody likes easy, but it's not easy. So not easy is a good thing to get into this path. You can choose easy. But not easy. It's up to you. So you need to be able to make the right choice. That was this little boy. He was, you know, like some kids. They just get caught up in mischief, kind of do their own thing. And you know, anybody having kids, you know, they can get on your best nerve. So this mother asked him. She said, "I don't know what his name was. They didn't tell me that in the joke, but we're gonna say his name was Gerald." Okay, Gerald, how do you expect to get to heaven? That's what she asked the little boy. And so he thought a minute, and then he said, well, what I'll do is I'll just run in and out, out and in. It keeps slamming the door until they say, for goodness sake, come in or stay out. Then I'll go in. You know how you do it. Change. Look, boy, stay in or out. He say, that's when he'll go in. Okay, he says, look, you will not get to heaven unless you stay on the path that God has set for us. You cannot enter the gate and then make your own path. And see, that ain't going to happen in the straight gate. Over in the wide gate, you get in that path, you do what you want to do, but not through the narrow gate. Not on this path. You can't make your own rules. There's only one way to God. There's only one path to God. And the only way is through the narrow gate. And it's through the truth that leads to God. That way, our path and truth is Jesus. Don't forget, you got to make the right choices. John 14, 6 tells us, Jesus tells his disciples, he says, he's about to leave, and he tells his disciples the way to his Father. He gives them, he says, this is how you get to the Father. He says, Thomas asked him, you know, Thomas was kind of inquisitive like that, so Thomas questioned Jesus. He says, how can we know the way? Okay, you say there's a way to the Father. Well, tell us, Jesus, how do we know the way? Jesus says, I'm the way. Yeah, there's no other way. You're looking at the way. I'm the way. The truth. And you come through me, you're going to get nothing but truth. And then not only that, you're going to have life. I'm the way, Thomas. I'm the truth, Thomas. I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's not rocket science, but it's your choice. Wide gate, narrow gate. Wide path, narrow path. No rules, rules. No restrictions, restrictions. It's not rocket science. So, which brings us to, you've gone through the gate, you've traveled the path, and there's something at the end of each path. What's at the end of the wide gate? Destruction. What's at the end of the narrow gate? Life. Boy, y'all been listening good. You see, as you ponder what you do, it's kind of like being at a fork in the road. Anybody ever been at a fork in the road? Especially if you try Siri. You know, sometimes Siri will have you all out the way. Yeah, I just wish we had more of our young folks in here, especially those that are going to be going to college. I'm not telling you something I had heard. I'm telling you something I had experienced. You know, you're gonna leave home. You're gonna be out of your folks' house, and there's a lot of decisions that you're gonna be making. There's a lot of choices that you're gonna be making, and they're not gonna be there. You know, to tell you, they told you before you left home, you grew up in the house, you had all of that, but you never had this kind of independence before. You're away from the house. Get up when you get ready, go to bed when you're ready. Go to class, not go to class. I mean, can we just keep it real for a second? We always own the young ladies, but young ladies and men, in college, you're going to be faced with some things, with some decisions. You know, if your peer have not been sexually active, the pressure is going to be on. The pressure is going to be on. But guess what? It's going to be up to you to make that decision. Do I or don't I? Now, mama's not there. Mama is not there. Young men, same thing. You know, mama or dad is not there. You got to make some decisions. You know, I mean, like the drug game is there. I mean, not that you didn't have it in high school, but it's something different in college. You don't even come home every day to them. Do I or don't I? Now, some of us did it, and by God's grace, we're still here. But that's not going to work always for you. The counsel is make the right choice. Make the right choice. You have it to do. It's on you. Make the right choice. The wide path. The wide path ends in destruction. Many people do not think this will happen to them. There's no guarantee on life. No guarantee. There's no guarantee. Sometimes you don't get a second chance. And then the narrow path. A loving God will not make people go to heaven if they didn't want to go there. God would not make you go to heaven. God would not make you have a desire to go to heaven. You have to choose that. It's available to you, but you have to choose it. Jesus tells us that the narrow road leads to life. I'm not talking about just, if we could just look past our breathing years on this earth, the 70 that's kind of promised to us, and maybe not that sometimes, but we're talking about beyond that. Sometimes we don't want to just look at the whole distance. We're talking about eternal life. We're talking about after Jesus comes back, that life. Because, see, when the eyes close, that's it. There's nothing else to get straight. It was how you lived your life. Where were you when you did close your eyes? If Jesus doesn't come while you're still walking around. That's the life we're talking about. Do you want life? Do you want destruction? As simple as that. Wide path, narrow path. Narrow gate, wide gate. Life or destruction. That's it. Life is about choices, and life is about the freedom to make those choices. God loves us so much that he did not take the ability to choose from us. Isn't he a good God? He gives you the ability to choose. It's on you. Just like when you leave your parents' home, it's on you to make the right choice. In Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20, God told Moses, he said, go tell the people that they needed to choose who they were going to serve. God said that life would be found in obeying him. That's what life is, obeying. He says it in the word, life is in obeying God. In Joshua 24, 13 through 15, upon entering the promised land, Joshua told the people to choose this day who they would serve. It's all about choices. As Elijah was about to take on the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel, he told the people to choose to either serve God or Baal. 1 Kings 18, 20, it's all about choice. God never forced people to follow him. He gives us a choice. Now, that's a good God. The question is, when you're at the fork in the road of faith, which path will you take? It's up to you. Right, left, wide path, wide gate, narrow gate. Simple. Simple. But sometimes yet so difficult for people to do. Remember this. If there was a sign on the two gates, on an narrow gate, we knew it would say the gate to heaven. But I got news for you. On the wide gate, you think the enemy would put gate to destruction? I don't think so. Otherwise, there wouldn't be many on it. He would probably have gate to heaven too, but probably in lowercase. It's going to be in caps. Y'all know how y'all text. It's going to be in caps. And on this one, it's going to be in lowercase and think of a little LOL on the side. Yeah. It's attractive. Otherwise, why would so many people be on the wide path? That's what you got to remember. You can't base it on your feelings. I'm talking about Christians. We pretty much expect those that don't know God to be there. But Christians, and don't have that false sense of security that you got it fixed, because there's going to be a lot of people on that path, as opposed to a few people on the narrow path. That's the question. Choice. Which way will you choose? There may be somebody here today that this ain't the first time you heard this, and you're a Christian. I mean, you are a sincere Christian, but there's some stuff on that wide path. If you check yourself, there's some baggage you're still carrying around what you need to do is put the brakes on, put that thing in reverse, and you realize and get on back over there and get through the narrow path. You better drop that unselfishness, that unforgiving spirit. Self-righteousness. All of that. But guess what? You got to be real with yourself. You got to look in the mirror and say, is this me? I'm on this, I feel I'm on the right path, but I got some stuff I need to fix. But yeah, that's what you need to do. I don't know when that is. Nobody knows when you're not trying to judge. Remember, Jesus told him, judge not lest you be judged. Get the plank out of your eye before you try to see the speck in somebody else's. All that kind of stuff got to be fixed. That's allowed on the wide path, but you ain't going to find that on the narrow path. That's why you got to make the right choice. You got to make the right choice. If I find myself and I'm real with myself and I come to myself and I see where I am, back it up, get back out that wide gate and try to get in that narrow path. That's all I'm trying to say. Choices. Make the right choice. And once again, if that's you, if you find yourself over there, you just want to rededicate yourself today. You just want to say, Lord, I, just within myself, I know I haven't been doing it right. I know there's some things I need to fix. I know I ain't perfect, you know, because Jesus was perfect. But if you just strive, remember the scripture we said about striving for something? If you're trying to do it, if you're really making an honest effort to do it, that's what we're saying. Maybe there's somebody that you just know you're on the wrong path, and you just want to back that thing up and get over there and get on the right path. That's you. If you want to come forward, let me pray for you today. Let me pray for us today. Amen? It may be someone that said, I just want to get on the right path. I want to make the right choice. I don't want to keep going the way I'm going. And I got to be real with myself. I want to get on the right path if I'm not there, and I want to stay. If I'm on the wrong path, I want to get on the right path. And maybe somebody that don't even know Jesus and the pardon of your sin. You just want to rededicate yourself to God today.